Today's daf is daf Yotes, and we are holding by Boy Reish Lakish, which is six lines down from the top. Now, in the context of yesterday's discussion, where we wanted to figure out whether Yud makes Eris into Nisui, so in the final stage, we ended up recognizing that the uniqueness of Yud, even in terms of Eris, is that we have at least Aliba the Sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, we have a case where a father is not being Mekabel Kedusha, because according to him, the Moz HaRishonis is not given for Kedushin. That means that the Kabbalah HaKedushin is the daughter, but the daughter is a Ketana, so she doesn't have the ability to be Mekabel Kedushin. If that's the case, it means that we have a unique set of requirements when it comes to Yud, which leads us to another fascinating question. Because the other din of Yud is that the Odin can utilize the Kesef HaKedushin, according to Yud and Rabbanan, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, in order to be miyaed this Oma Ivriya to his own son. Now, we know, normally speaking, you cannot do anything for your son. You can't be Mekabel, your father can be Mekabel Kedushin for his daughter, who is a minor. To be Mekabel Kedushin, make Kedushin on behalf of your son, who's a Katan, is outrageous, unheard of. The question, however, is, in the context of Yud, since the Torah says, maybe indeed there's such a thing, just like there is. As we saw yesterday, there's a Yud for a Ketana too. Therefore, today, Boy Reish Lakish, Ma'u Shemiyaed Adam Livno Katan. Can a Odin, who bought an Oma Ivriya, now say, because since it says that he could be Miyaed, or Im Livno Yadena, so it doesn't say what kind of Beno, Beno Amarachmana, Beno Kolu. It just says his son, it doesn't say his age of the son. So that would mean, whatever his son is, Katan Golo, the same Aloha. Odiomo, or should we say, well, I mean, the Torah obviously means to place the context of the Yud HaBen into the overall din of Yud to himself. So, I mean, B'no Dunya Didei, Ma'u Gadol Av B'no Gadol, the choice of taking her yourself. Or in Ligno Yadena itself implies that the options are similar, except that one is you and one is him. But certainly they both have to be a normal condition. It would achieve that I can use the Kesef of the Kinyan, according to Rabbanim, or the leftovers, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, to be Makadosh, which normally I wouldn't be able to do. Yeah. Omer Rabbi Zera Tashma, Ish, which says Ish, Asher Yin Afet Eshet Ish. Note that the word Ish appears twice in that pasuk. So a man who commits adultery with the wife of a man, I mean, why say it in that way? So Ish comes to tell me he must be not a minor. Pratla katan. Asher yin afet eshet Ish means pratla eshet katan. Now the Gemara makes a strange assumption at this point, that the reason that a katan who's married to a woman would not create an iser of ni'ifa, as that's what it's saying. If it's an eshet Ish, then there's a chiyav of mita for sleeping with a married woman. But if it's an eshet katan, there's not. So the Gemara is assuming, okay, why is there not? Because since he's a katan, he's not really married. So, if you're going to tell me, Reish Lakish, that a odin can be miyayid no a katan, so then it isn't true that asher yinafet eshet ish prat a katan, because then there would be a katan who has an isha, and she should be a normal wife in every way, and somebody who sleeps with her would be committing adultery. It would be chayav, the same mitzvah that it would for any other eshet ish. So, imkein matzinu ishut a katan, says, what are you thinking? Exactly the opposite. Elamai, what are you saying? That a no miyayed, a person cannot be miyayed, a woman to his ben who's a katan. So then why in the world does the Torah have to exclude a case that doesn't exist? They're saying, pratli eshet katan, pratli what? Eshet katan, there ain't no such animals as eshet katan. So what's the point of telling me in the pasuk that there's no chi of mita? If you go ahead and commit adultery with eshet katan, if that such a thing doesn't exist. So if anything, Adarava, this is a raya that there is an eshet katan. It's just that the Torah is saying that there's no chi of mita on an eshet katan. That's all. So if anything, it's a proof that Yud would work. So Elamai, ain't no miyayit. So what's the point of a Michael or Michael Crawford? For heaven's sakes, then you don't need a pasuk to talk about a non-existent case. Therefore, I would suggest that Adarava, Tifshot Mina, let us indeed use this as a raya that came miyayit, and that you are indeed able to be miyayit of Doa Katan, and that is precisely the case that the Torah would be coming to say. Even though there is such a thing as an Eshet Katan, nonetheless, it doesn't have the same status as a normal Eshet Ish, and there would be no Chi of Misa for committing adultery with such a woman. That makes sense. So now we would have a solution to Reish Lakish. Omer Rav Ashi, not necessarily, because I can come up with an alternative case. The alternative case where it's a given that there's such a thing as an Eshet Katan is Hocha B'Yavam, Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad, Haba Yavim Toesk. And we have a unique case where a woman is married to a regular person, an adult, who dies without children, leaving a brother who is a minor. So now we have a katan. And the din is that once he's 9 years old, he's capable of intercourse. So he sleeps with her. In that case, like any other person who sleeps with a yavama, she becomes the ishto. She becomes his wife, completely his wife. Over there, the Torah was makna, the ishut, to the individual. Not that he has to achieve that ishut on his own. It comes from the brother, basically. And now it's transferred to him. So here we have a unique case where you have a minor who didn't make kiddushin, but who, to whom the Torah gave a wife. So therefore, I need not a pasuk to say that since over there, the midiraita chazile, over here it's midiraita really, it's meant now for him, because she is zekuka for yibum, she's not allowed to get married to anybody else. Now, I mean, what she ought to do, of course, is wait until he's a gadol, and then he will do normal yibum v'kena. But since we have 2 points here, put these 2 points together, he's capable of intercourse. Yes, he's over 9. Is she zekuka to him? Yes, it's given that yavam is zekuka. So he went ahead now and takes her, so then she's his, no? So I would say, once I get the midiraita chazale, so ma'o the tema, I would have said, put the two things together. Given the midiraita chazale, plus the fact ubiyato biya. So then I would have said, aha, so if that's the case, even though he's only a katan, habo alea mitchayev be'eshadish. So then it would be a normal ishut, and somebody commits adultery with the wife now, she became a wife, she used to be his yavama, would be chayev mita. Kamash malan, that indeed, that's not the case, and he is what? That's the question. So what does this mean? And he is indeed not really married?
No, maybe he married, but she is not the avaria, he's not chayav misa.
So how would that be? Would it be a different, I mean, we don't have two different sets of eshadish. L'chora, either she's an eshadish or she's not an eshadish. So there's actually a machloket Rashi and Tosfot over here, in general, how to see this entire issue. You will recall that back in Masechet Yevamot, we had Asu biat ben tesha kimamar bigadol. Remember that? If you have now a Yavam who's 9 years old, his actual bia achieves what the ma'amar of a gadol achieves. Now the ma'amar is clearly only the rabbana. Ma'amar means that one of the brothers, if the more than one brother, so then he gives kiddushin in order to be miyache the Yavama for him, but it's not really a kinyan, he has to go through with the yibam. It's a kinyan de rabbana. It says Tosas, I mean, if the Gemara says that, then obviously what this pasuk is telling us is that they're not married. The kinyan is only a de rabbanan kinyan. That's the point. So in other words, now that I have this sugya, the midiraita chazilite says Tosas cannot mean what Rashi says. Namely, that really there's a full zika over here which should reward him with ishut if he goes ahead now and takes it. And it doesn't require his dot. That's not what it means. Midiraita, that's how Rashi understood it. And therefore we'd have to say what Rabbi Yisrael is saying. That midiraita chazilite means partially in terms of Yerusha, so he's really married to her. In terms of the normal chiyuvim, bala, isha, and so on, she is his. But certainly no more than that. So Tosfos says, midiraita chazilite means, since in a case where he had been a gadol, and where he will be a gadol, then he's supposed to be able to take her, and he's nichnas into the field of yibum. Therefore, midrabanan now, putting these two together, you might think that that's enough kamashba, and that it's not. And that indeed, the midiraita chazile is insufficient to make her midiraita his wife at all. And therefore, according to Tosfos, he's only kainam in rabbana. And that's the meaning of the comparison of ma'amar to biat ben teisha. Otherwise, it makes no sense. If this is a special halakha, what are you comparing it to ma'amar for? This is a real kinyan, according to Rashi. The only thing is that there's this one nafkamina, as Rabbi Yisrael said. It's not like ma'amar, man. This is serious stuff. It's just a term potted you from Misa, because it's a funny kind of Isha, where the Ishus involves Yerusha and so on, but doesn't involve the full-scale living together as man and wife. It's a very interesting machlokas. But in any event, says Rav Ashi, if I can come up with an alternative explanation of what an Eshet Katan is, then you can't say that the Torah is referring to the case of Yud. The Torah could be referring to the case of Yibum. So we don't have a riot. Because all we need is one case for the Torah to need to tell me, but don't think that Shechayev Misa. We have that one case without any big tradition. Namely, the case of Yibum. Okay, so then we're left with Reish Lakish's standing question. Is it possible to be Miyaya to a Katan or not? Okay, says the Gemara, so my Havyala. So what's the bottom line? You're telling me we haven't proven it from here, so can we prove it from anywhere? Ah, Tashma, let's take a look at this braita. Omer Reb Aiva, sorry, this braita. Omer Reb Aiva, Omer Reb Yana, Ein Yi'ud Ela Begadol, and Ein Yi'ud Ela Midat. So now Reb Yana here is quoted as saying there is no Yi'ud unless we're referring to a Gadol, and there's no Yi'ud unless, I mean, it seems to be saying Midat, that you need Da'at, which is the same thing. I mean, A godol has dat, a katan doesn't have dat. So, says the Gemara, tarte? What, is that two things? That's not two things. That's one thing. So why did you say it in that strange way? Now, that's how Rashi learns it, okay? There's a problem with that approach of Rashi. The problem is that the word tarte is always used in the Gemara to indicate a contradiction. Are you saying with one mouth those two things? Because it's an oxymoron. So always the word tarte means oxymoronic. So over here it means, what, is that two things? It's really one. There's a completely different use of the word. It's very confusing. Therefore, Tainus Tesis, the meaning of tarte, is that indeed it's contradictory. Tarte? You're saying both of those things? It doesn't make any sense. Because first you say, Ein Yud Ela B'Gadol, which is mashma that I, as the father, could be Makadol, the Yud for my son who's a Gadol. Well, there's no finish in that. Unless you're saying that I, as the father, can do that without the das of the son. And then you turn around, but you need the das. So then what? Then don't say Ein Yud Ela B'Gadol. Then it's not, that's not true. You could just simply say, you know, Ein Yud Ela Midas. But don't try to tell me I have a right to take Yud for my son, which is Mashma without das. So that's how Tosus understands it. Answers the Gemara that no. This is not two separate statements. It's one statement. Ma tam ka'amar. We're simply explaining ourselves. Ein Yud Ela B'Gadol. Why? Because Lefish Ein Yud Ela Midas. So we need to have the consent and the commitment of the one who's going to be the husband. But Meili has to be a Gadol because a Kotan doesn't have that. Or could be we made a mistake entirely in understanding what this means. Maybe dat doesn't mean the dat of the person who is getting the yud. Maybe the dat, this would be an amazing chiddush, the dat means the woman's dat. So there's, all along we were talking about earlier in the Masechta, remember Tosfos says that be'ishus bal korcha, we don't find such a thing. Then he was saying, well, what about yud, which is done bal korcha of the av, bal korcha of the woman? Remember that was Tosfos' chat? It's a brilliant chat. And how it would turn out that even be'ishut, we could end up having something that was bal korcha. Now the Gemara is saying, no, maybe midat means that you need, indeed, her, now here's a machlokas mishonim, her consent, or her awareness that you are using now, you're changing the relationship from one of adain to shivcha to bal to isha. Okay, the pashtus is that it would require her consent, and that she has to know. In other words, it's not something that you decide. It's a kinyan that's achieved, which may be based on your das of kinyan, but it has to be in the same way that we have by the isha. It has to be even a tamla sefer kritut. You can't give her something and say, here's your bill from Edgar's, and it turns out to be her get, right? So same thing over here, tzarek liyada. Others, and then it means bamish kipshuto. But this lechora would be going on libido regressive rebuta, as we'll see in a moment. So what's the deal? Because since the Tani Abaye Bereide Rabbi Avu, why does the Torah use the word Asher Lo Ya'ada? For heaven's sakes, this perfectly good word for discussing Kiddushin. Asher Lo Irsa, Lo Lekacha. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the Masechta, dozens of different words that we could have used, all of which are already implied in the Torah elsewhere. Remember, on all those lists, going back to Gan Eden, now all of a sudden we choose this new word. What is that supposed to mean, Ya'ada? Oh, so the point is that the word Ya'ada is linked to the word Da'at. Because the same way, even in modern Hebrew, how do we use Ya'ad? Ya'ad means a defined goal, right? But a defined goal by definition is Da'at. That's the point. Someone who has Da'at now defines precisely where it is that they're going and how they look at the world. So Asher Lo Ya'ada implies Da'at, is the meaning over here. Some actually have the girsa that he has to be Yidda'a, not Ya'ada. Yidda'a, that he needs to tell her. So therefore, no, Aleph. He did not do Yi'ud. Right? Imra'a be'inei Adonai asher lo ya'ada. He didn't like her, or whatever that means, and therefore he did not do Yi'ud. But meanwhile, we see that the word Yi'ud is malamed shetzarich liyad'a. Many Mishonim have the girsa. You have to let her know. Or the way that it's written, it also means liya'ada is a play on words of da'at, because that's really the root of the concept. Now, how do I understand that? This is a brayta that Abaye Bereide Rabbi Avu was quoting. How do I understand that brayta? Who tani la? He said the brayta. Vuhu amarlan, he explained the brayta. He says, obviously, what this is referring to is kedusha yud alibid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Since, as we saw earlier, and we're going to see later again, that Alib the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the din is that Ma'ot Harishonot Lav the Kiddushin Nitznu. So the original money was not given for Kiddushin. And therefore, since it wasn't given the Kiddushin, so if now, for instance, if he had sold her, And now the Baal, the Odin, goes ahead and he does the Yud. And now he dies. Is that considered to be Shifchut HaHarishut? I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva if he wants to sell her again. If you learn Big Doba means Paras Big Do Aleha. No, the father says, me, I have nothing to do with it. I sold her for an arma. I didn't accept that money for anything else. Absolutely not. Makes no nafkamina, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, whether he accepted it or not, because you use the other money, meaning the last shavar prutam. So that means that it's not the father who did it. So the whole thing wouldn't apply, Rabbi Akiva's diyuv. Furthermore, obviously, as we saw, there's the other nafkamina about whether you need to have a shavar pruta left of avdus at the moment that you do yehud. Or even if it's the last split second of the 6 years that she's working for, you still say, wait, I gave 20,000 rands at the beginning. That's a shavar pruta, I think, even with today's exchange rates. So because of that, we should be able now to keep her. But since he holds the most Rishon Shalav LeKedushin Nitnu, so that means you're coming now to make a Kenyan. How do you make a Kenyan without her Das? This is a new Kedushin. According to Rashi, it means you need her Askama. So, like any Kedushin. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Yitzchak says, that's not the correct interpretation. You do not need to say it's going, I'll leave the Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda, it could be going perfectly well, I'll leave it the Rabbona. And Afilo Teim LeKedushin Nitnu. This could be a Chiddush HaKra, that Shinei Hochad Yom HaKra Ya'ada. Since the Torah says, and nobody's going to argue on the fact that Ya'ada is a very unusual choice of words that implies a level of awareness. I tried going so fast, I was going to finish on time and everything. This is terrible. Okay, but then you have to get it up on time so you can download it. He doesn't download. We take what we can get. So maybe even I'll leave it up on him. Shine the Yada. Since over here the Torah chooses that word, it's telling us that despite the fact that the Moshe Rishonis were the Kedushin, since we have a change in status, that change in status, even I'll leave it up on him, even though it was implied in the original giving of the money. The fact is that suddenly, one minute she was an Oma, and now another minute she's a wife. That change in status itself is an element of Das and awareness that's involved in it. You don't have to say it's going Aliba, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So now we've already had a number of occasions, three occasions, in which we made reference to this Machlokas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. We never talked about the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan itself. Time to take a look at that and see what exactly the meaning of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is. You have another one of those Red Bulls? I mean, one day of life, at least it was lived. They kill you.
It had wings.
So it says the Gemara, let's take a look at this. My Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, what are we referring to? We keep talking about this Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. To Tanya. Ya'ada vehevda. The Torah puts together two different words, right? It says, Asher lo ya'ada vehevda. So what that means is, Tzorech sheyehe shehut biyom kidei pidiyah. That means that the Torah is making a linkage that we never would have thought existed between the ability to, if you don't do the yud, for her to be yotze b'giron kesef, which is what vehevda means, she could buy her way out. You can't buy your way out if there's less than a shavar pruta left. Because buying implies the value of a shavar pruta. So if that's the case, the mikanam Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, only im yeshu would be yom kidei lasot imo shavar pruta, if there's enough left, that would be worth a shavar pruta for her to be able to buy herself back. So then she's mikudeshet with yud. But im lav, ain't a mikudeshet. Now does that not mean to you, Alma, does that mean to you that he holds, kosovar mo'ot harishonot lav lekedushin itnu? And that's the way all along we've been assuming. That according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, he understands the meaning of that linkage as saying, look, basically what you're using is that Shavar Pruta to create the Yud. So if that Shavar Pruta doesn't exist, how are you going to create the Yud? What about the original money that was given for the purchase? That was not given for Yud. That was given for an Oma. How could you suddenly now retroactively define that money as being money for Kedushin? Must be, therefore, there's a massive difference between the Rabbanan's approach to the Sugin and Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda. So if you believe that the Torah links Pidyon, Giroin, Kesef to Yud, then you are stuck with this other assumption, that the only way that you're making the Kedushin is with this last Shavar Prut. That's why all along we've been saying there's a major machlokus about whether you need to have that Shavar Prut at the end or not, and that defines whether Moetz HaRishonot. Now, we also made reference earlier to the Shita of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who says that that is not the case. It's a wrong understanding of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yudin does not necessarily follow. Because let me ask you something. The din of Yud, does it not require that she be an Omer at the time of the Yud? Yes. In other words, you can't, after she finishes her 6 years, we saw earlier, it's Dafka, while she's still an Omer, he can be Miyayah. He can't say, now you've worked for 6 years, now I want you to be my wife. With what? Well, with the money that I gave then. I meant that it should end, it should terminate with Ishut. You can't do that. So that means that the Yud anyway is a function of the Avdut. Why can't we understand, therefore, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is simply saying, how do we understand that Avdut? Less than a Shavuot Prut is not Avdut. Since the Torah said that the Vehevda is the definition of the Yahanda, it's coming to tell me, what do I mean that you could take her while she's an Amma, while she still has a Shavuot Prut that she needs to work off? But if there's not a Shavuot Prut, she's no longer Bechlal, the din of Yud. Why does that mean necessarily that it's a function of the money? It's not an issue of money. It's an issue of her being an Amma. That's all. Therefore, Tanya's with Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Who's to say that that's true? Afilu tem leKiddushin nitnu. Even if the original money were given for Kiddushin. And indeed, you'd be able to say there was lots of Shavuot Prutas over there. That's not what we're looking for here. Shani Achanim Rachman of Evda. We're coming to define the nature of the Shivchot, not the nature of the Kiddushin. Therefore, it's irrelevant. The Machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, this is simply not Nogea Mot HaRishonot HaKiddushin nitnu.
Maybe does the issue have to take place while she's still there a bit, or can he make it say that she becomes the isha after the house is finished?
We're going to see in the next sugya, basically. Omar Rava Omar Ibn Nachman. I want to make some very important conclusions built on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because he's saying some dramatically meaningful things that should have implications for all kiddush. Basically, we said earlier, I'm a kaddish b'milva ein mekudesha. Isn't that true? Right? And basically we said that a katana cannot be makabel kedushin. Isn't that true? Okay. I want to challenge both of those assumptions from Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because if you look at what's happening over here, it boils down to specific dinim about those two issues. First of all, I say, Omer Rav Omer Rav Nachman, that based now on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, I would say that Omer Adam lebito ktanat si'ivi kiblu kedushin. A man can tell his daughter who's a katana, I am giving you over my schus, and you can now be makabel your own kedusha. You say that's crazy? Well, not any crazier than Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because min Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Look, lava my Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda mo'ot erishonot lava kedusha nidu. Just tell me. Did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda say that the original money is not for kedusha? Yes. Okay, so who's being makabel the kedusha? The girl. She's a ketana. How can she be makabel kedusha? Elamai, the fact that the father handed her over with the understanding that she is an Amma, and built into the din of Amma is the fact that that could end up in Kedushin. So he's now left it up to her, that if he comes along now, the other, and says, now I want to change our relationship with the one of Kedushin, and we just said it, she has to agree. Maybe she has to agree, she's a Ketana. Uh-huh. So apparently that's the equivalent of handing over to your minor daughter the rights that you have to become a Kedushin. Ha ha ha. And so now plug that back into the din of Kedushin overall. And nonetheless, then that must be a principle in Kedushin overall. Now, this is an amazing problem, right? Because, I mean, it's all the Rishonim bring up. What? I mean, she doesn't have a yad. So what are you doing? Where was the where does it come from? I give you what? I give you my das. I give you my yad. So, I mean, there's a lot of different approaches. Tosfos says that Enoch Hinami is based on the idea of das acheres ma. In other words, if it's dependent on another das, which over here the Torah made it dependent on the das of the Odain, so then we have a das acheret that's kaino over here, so we have a das acheret that's makne when it comes to a kata. So you can able to give him something. So here too, since the Torah made it defined by him, so perhaps over here you can actually give over that schus somehow. I mean, others want to relate it back to the issue of just doing the act of being makabel the kedusha, which is very much not what the sugya seems to be saying, because that's not Nogea in Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda.
I don't understand the concept now. Asher lo yada, we said she had to have concept. Das. But the Ketana don't have das. So how does it work, all of this?
You mean the Ibo Yiseima? Yada?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Rav Nachman is saying. How does it work? The only way it could possibly work is that the father gave over the schus that the Torah gave him to his daughter. So that means, okay, that's the problem. Where is that coming from? So that's the question in the Rishayna. Is it coming because of the fact that the father now says, I'm willing. Now it's just a function of your choosing. So then enochinami, then we're using the das of the ordain, who is Kena, and the consent that was given by the father who handed over his kaya. Well, you can see why it's very problematic. I mean, what's the halachic mechanism for such a thing? It's not shlichut. You can't give a shliach a yad where he doesn't have a yad. It's not dat. You can't give dat where there isn't dat. So what exactly is it? Okay, as I say, this is like a very rich topic among the Rishonim and Achronim. What would this mean? Furthermore, I have another big chiddush, says Rav. Yom Rav Am Rav Nachman. Another big chiddush is like this. We said before, Mekadosh B'Mil V'Ein HaMekudesh. I say that from this case you see that a Mekadosh B'Mil V'Sheyesh Aleha Mashkon Mekudesh. That if Lamaisa there is a Mashkon that is owed, that now, if you pay me back, I'm going to give you this Mashkon back, that then she would be Mekudeshet, because then we have an object which makes the Milva extant. Normally we say Milva Lo Tzadnit, there's nothing here. Well, if you would say, I'm being Mekadosh you with the Hana'a that you have of my willing to be Merkel the debt, fine, that's good. But then I'm not using the money of the Milva. But if I say, I want to be Mekadosh you with money that you owe me, where's the Nesina? There's no Nesina of money. That money's not here anymore, right? That's what we said earlier. You could say, I want to be Mekadosh you with the Hana that you would be willing to pay to get me to be Meichel alone. So I'm going to give you that. That's worth money to be Meichel alone. Maybe it's worth 1 rand less than the entire loan. Whatever it is, but I'll be Meichel alone, right? So you'd pay somebody 99% of the loan to get me to be Meichel alone. It's worth it for you. I'm giving you those 99%. But that's not what's happening over here. Because what he's doing is he's saying, you still owe me a Shavu'ot Pruta, right? You've got another 10 minutes to work. Don't work. Keep that Shavu'ot Pruta. Excuse me, where's the Shavu'ot Pruta? You didn't say, I'm going to be Mekadosh you with the Hana of allowing you to keep a Shavu'ot Pruta. That would be worth a little bit less than a Shavu'ot Pruta. Must be, therefore, that since there's a Mashkon here, what's the Mashkon? Here, she's here. She can't get away without doing that work because he owns her for that work. So what's she going to do now? So there you see that we don't look at the milva as a theory that was already done. It's alva. Where's the money? There's no nesina. But here there's money. Right here in your person, there's money. So that means that if there would be a mashkon in a normal halva, then that would be okay. And then we wouldn't say it's a chisar in mekadosh b'milva. Let's see that inside. So I say, if you're mekadosh b'milva, she yeshalei a mashkon mekodesh, b'nei Rav Yehuda b'Rav Yehuda. Look. Are we agreed, at least most of us are, except for Nachman Yitzchak, that if, according to Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot use the original Mosa Kedushin, so what are you using? The last Shavu'ot Pruta that she owes. Owes is a halva'ah. Hi halva'ah. He said, how are you being Mekadosh B'milva? Because he grew from Mashka now. She herself is physically present as a Mashka. And therefore, so you see that because you've got a mashkin over here, it's a perfectly valid kedushin. So memela must be that achanami loshna. That would be exactly the same situation. Tosfos does not like this approach that I just said to you. Tosfos learns that the inyan over here lechora boils down to hana'a. Not having to work is hana'a. That's work that Shavu'ot Pruta. So therefore, it's with the hana'a, giving you a vacation. And why is that any different than saying ba'ana'at milva? Because I don't understand what the problem is, this Tosfos. So before, ana'at milva would be fine. Furthermore, Tosfos says, don't tell me that this has something to do with being Mekadosh with the Mashkin, because that's obviously not the case. First of all, we have to remember that tzedakah minayin, Rav Yitzchak's did. You have a mashkon, it means that you have a right to use that mashkon. No, that can't be, because that we know, we spoke about that earlier, but I don't need Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Besides which, we're not talking about being Mekadosh with the mashkon, in this case, obviously. So that's not the point, is that there is a mashkon. Okay, so that isn't the issue. Therefore, this comes up with a very strange pshat in the Gemara. His pshat is that maybe the fact that there's a mashkon makes it worse. That even though there's a mashkon, because you might have thought that what he would have said was that, well, what I actually want to use is the kayak of the mashkan. That's the point over here. So the mashkan is never given back. Nothing's handed to her. I mean, he didn't give her a mashkan. Kamashman, that it's not a chisaron. But, I mean, obviously, it's not exactly the way you would read intuitively the sugya at all. Tanu Rabban, Ketzad mitzvat yiud. How exactly do you do a yiud? Omer la bifnei shnayim. It's like any other kedushin. Areat mu'edetli, areat mekudeshetli, areat mu'uresetli. Afilu b'sof sheish, afilu somoch l'shkiyat ha'chama. It could be the very last minute before the sun sets. You've got 1 second left. And at that point, whenever it's done, noeg ba minag yishud, v'ena noeg ba minag shifchud. Now, if after doing that, it could be the first day, if after doing that, you say to her, okay, now polish my shoes, and she says, drop dead, then you know, it's a good yud. So no more shifcha, only yishud. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not true. It's only in Yeshua, beyond the Lasotim Hashem, Brutim Kudasha. As we've seen before, the Torah links, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the din of Pidyon, Hevdah, to Yud. And therefore, only if there's a Shavu Bruta with the remaining work, Vimlav, Inam Kudasha. Mashal, this would be comparable to a case, now Rashi understands this to mean like this. This would be comparable to a case, and therefore you can infer from the halacha that we just said, that in a case where a man says to a woman, "Hitkatshili me'achshav la'achar 30 yom," you be mekudeshet to me from this point, but the kedushin should be chal only 30 days from now. In the time in between today and 30 days, somebody else comes along. Uba'acher v'kitcha b'tok 30 yom. The din over here is that the first guy's kedushin overrides the second guy's kedushin because it was chal retroactively. So I was like, excuse me, how do you see that from here? You're saying, mashal aman. According to who is that a proper mashal? I mean, certainly you don't mean mashal Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda says it was not retroactive. Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda said you could not use the original money. So obviously, I mean, if you're using the original money, you could start talking about retroactivity. But if you're saying it's only from this last minute where there's a shavar bruta left, then obviously it's irrelevant to the case we are trying to make something retroactive. Are you dreaming about assignments or are you thinking about the Gemara?
You got him. You caught him red.
He's upset that Rebbe said you can't poke a kid.
That also could be true as well. Because he hasn't been poking me the whole share. It's actually amazing.
What, are the last 2 3 weeks? Yeah.
Oh, he's been really wondering.
He's just holding you back, caging you in.
Yeah, he's just caging.
Okay. So it can't be a mashal of Yezir Yehuda, right? Because, I mean, he said, therefore, says Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav, it's a mashal of Rabbanan. In other words, what are the Rabbanan saying? That if at some point later, 6 years later almost, it's right before Shkiat HaChama, you say, that money that was given to you before is now retroactively money for Kiddushin. Ah! So you see from there, I'm being very careful, we'll look the other way to give a little bit of release to you. So if you now have that last minute, he can go back and retroactively make the Kiddushin from the original moment. Therefore, you see from here that it's the equivalent of making a Kiddushin retroactively, which obviously if somebody else would give Kiddushin in the middle, it's not going to work. He says, well, I understand, I need Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava to teach me that. I mean, pshita, that follows automatically. No, it doesn't, you see. Because look, ma'odatei mahalo amar li mi'afshav. In this case, the guy never said me'akshav. You make a t'nai at the time that he bought her as an almond. He's saying, and by the way, if I determine that I want to take her as a wife, then this money shall be the money for the kedushin from now. He never said that. So on the, what we should learn out from over here is that even in a case where a guy does not say me'akshav, it should still be mekudesh at the rishon. So the point over here is, you'll note that we said mashal to a guy who says to a woman me'akshav. That's the Kiddush. Because if you would have looked at it on your own, you would have said, oh, but he didn't say me'achshav. So it's apparently whenever you're Mekadosh a woman, by money that you had given her earlier, if a man tries to be Mekadosh in the interim, and then you make the Kiddush to Chal, it's Chal retroactively and wipes out the other guy's Kiddush, which is not true. It's only if you said me'achshav. So why is this a mashal for that? That's a Kiddush. Because since Yud is defined by the Torah as something that was meant to be incorporated in the original giving of the Mos, Alibi the Rabbanan, it's as if you said Me'aksha. That's the point, because the Torah made it Me'aksha. But you could derive a similar case where you would essentially create that same situation by giving money and saying Me'aksha when I decide we're going to be Mekudesh after 30 days. It would also wipe out another guy's Kiddushin in the interim. Now that's a Kiddush.
So she's an Amah. She can't get married anyway, unless he says so.
It doesn't matter, but the point is, how can you use money that doesn't exist?
Okay, what I'm saying is that if she can't do it anyway, then
maybe. You're jumping to conclusions about a case that we're going to be talking about. So let's not jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
It's irresistible.
How is the Shabbat
going to be called?
How is the Shabbat going to live to Mekadosh and him that lost Shah at the last moment? Because surely all the work that she does is in lieu of the original money that the
right, and now that she still owes him one Shabbat for it. He paid for 6 years, and he only got 5.99999 years. Yeah. Okay, now. This is an emergency. The daf requires your immediate attention. Good doctor, the daf requires your immediate attention. Please report immediately to the daf yomi emergency room.
How much does it cost to send those SMSs?
All right, so now that was one bright. We have another bright in a similar vein, but says almost the opposite. Tanya Ida. Where are we now? Tanya Ida has another bright that says like this, which is exactly the case that Allah spoke about. He sells his daughter and then he goes and he's mekabel kedushin for another guy before the Adon decides to exercise his rights of yud. He laughs. As I got your cash, I know what you were thinking. But I already was Makabal Kedushin with somebody else. So now, so says Rabbi Yezbar Yehuda. This is Machlokas, by the way, whether this means that obviously this does not abrogate the Amahut, because the Amahut was already Chal. So she can't say, I'm sorry, I married somebody else, I can't work for you. Because there's a lien on her for the work beforehand. But others learn sichek ba'adam, which is the way we used it before. You can laugh at him. You laugh at a person who put his money down like an idiot. Didn't exercise his rights. Since I exercised that right, now it overrides your amahut. Which it's going only the bit of Yehuda, which is exactly the opposite of the original brayta. The original brayta said, this is what Allah was pointing out. The original brayta said that if somebody, a second guy, goes into Mekabel Kedushin, which is exactly what happened over here, that the father was Mekabel Kedushin for his daughter, that in that case we said Me'akshav would cancel the Kedushin. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying no. The din is that indeed the second one's Kedusha would be Chal, and not the first one's Kedusha, which obviously makes sense of Rabbi Yehuda's Rebuta. Because Rabbi Yehuda's Rebuta himself is the one who says we don't look at the original money. So that means you tried to make a Kedusha later, but you didn't. By the time you made the Kedusha, you was making a Kedusha to somebody else. So we understand that this Breita is the mirror image of the original Breita, which was going to leave it to Rabbanan, as we explained it, and this is taking into consideration exactly the same circumstances, but from the point of view of Rabbi Yehuda's Rebuta. V'chachamim omri, not true. Imrat Salah Ya'ed Mi'ayed. There's no problem. If he decides he wants to use that money for Yud, then he abrogates the Kedushin to the other guy. Mashal. So here we get into this Mashal. To what can this be compared? And therefore, to what would you be able to learn out from it? La'omer le'isha re'ed mekudeshet le'achar shloshim yom. Note that over here, conspicuously missing is the word me'akshav, right? If you give money to a woman, you say, be mekudeshet to me after 30 days. And then, ba'achar v'kitcha betok shloshim yom, somebody comes along now and is mekadesher, what's the din mekudeshet le'sheni? So here too, it's the same thing. She's Mekudesh of the Sheni. What do you mean, Mashal? Mashal Aman. I mean, it can't be the Rabbanan, can it? I thought the Rabbanan said that on the contrary. She's Mekudesh of the Sheni, not the Rishon. The Rishon, not the Sheni. Because if he wants to claim the Ayat, he's the Rishon. Elam, Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, Mashal, Rabbi Yassir, Rabbi Yehuda. Well, obviously, Pshita. I mean, that's childish. I mean, that's exactly what he was saying. What are you telling me, Achidesh? That's the case. No, it's not really the case. Because Ma'od Tema, that in this case, he didn't say Le'achar Shloshim Yom, did he? I understand if you say to a woman, Le'achar Shloshim Yom, and you don't say Me'achshav, so then what you mean is, not now. I don't want the Kedusha to be Chal now. Okay, so then I understand. But over here, you never said, at the time that you gave the money, that it should be after such and such a time. So because of that, it could be that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that indeed, look, you never mentioned Kedusha, honey. You talked about my doing your shoes. I mean, so Dad went ahead and was Mekabel Kedushin for my old infatuation. I'm so happy. But in a case where you give her the money and you say, L'achar Shloshim, so then he says to her, what were you thinking when I gave you the money? Well, you're thinking that I was afraid I would spend it in the bars. I gave you the money, obviously, because the intent is from that time to have you miuchedes for me, and I only meant that the Kedushin should be completed. L'achar Shloshim Yom. Well, why did you think I was giving you money now? So I might have thought that, okay, Yehud, I understand. Yehud, you never said anything. But in a case where you gave the money, so then maybe Enochinami would be the equivalent of saying Me'achshav, right? Therefore, Kamash Malam, that's not true. So let's see that inside again. Pshita? No, because Ma'adatema Olo Amar Lele Achishloshim Yom. Kamash Malam, that Yehud, even a Libet Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Mosar Rishonos are not the basis of it, but it is the Mosar Rishonos that purchased the ability to be Me'ayad with the Le'er Shavar Puta that she owes to those Mosar Rishonos. Therefore, it's the equivalent of giving money to a person and saying Le'achizman. Tanya Yidav, a third Brayta says, Hamocheret Bito Pasaka Manat Shelo Le'ya'ed Nitkayem Atna, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Somebody does Yud, but he says, look, I'm accepting this money for my daughter to be your shifcha, but I do not allow this money to be taken as kesef kiddushin. I specifically make a condition of the sale that there never be a yud. Huh? Oh, nonetheless, Rabbi Meir says that's okay. The chachamim omrim, the chachamim say, no, the condition is null and void. And imratzu liyayed miyayed, you can't do yud. Because what you are doing is, you're making a condition against the specific halacha in the Torah. You can forget about that condition, and since the condition is null and void, the sale remains, and you use whatever the dinim are of the sale. I don't get it. And Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that? According to Rabbi Meir, we know the Feirish that Rabbi Meir is very makbid on the din of matna mashikatu batorah. Take a look at the following, Vatanya. He wants to be Kaddish a woman, but he should not have the normal chiyuvim of a man to her to his wife. Areza mikudeshet to know about tell. If Rabbi Meir, here is Rabbi Meir saying the Pharisee that the din is matir mashikatu batorah to know about tell, and over here he's saying exactly the opposite. How did that happen? Rabbi Yehuda, amen. It depends. Now she'er ksut v'onah include some things that are monetary and some things that are chiyuvim aguf that are mitzvahs. So the part that are monetary, bedovership of mamon to the okayam. Because since by definition a dovership of mamon is something that can be mochul by the individual that you owe the money to. So there's actually a machlokes achronim how exactly to understand Rabbi Yehuda. But the pashtus is, now when I make a tnai like that, I'm not saying to the woman that amanat she'enach alai she'er b'ksud, that this kedusha should not be mechayev me in she'er b'ksud. That's not what I mean to say. I mean to say that you will not hold me to my chiyuv of she'er b'ksud. So you're going to be meichel. That's not matna mashikatuba Torah. I'm a kavala 100%. I owe you she'er v'ksut, and I want you to agree with this kedushin that you're not going to hold me to the fee. You're going to be merkel me on the she'er v'ksut. So then it's not matna mashikatuba Torah. But to go ahead and say now that we will define this as a marriage, which is not up to you. You can't define a marriage. I will never hold you to having sex with me. That's outrageous. That contradicts the notion of what marriage is according to the Torah. It's not given to a mechila in terms of the nature of the marriage. Totally. And so because of that, there to know about hell. So how do you explain Rabbi Meir's contradiction? Omar Chizkia, Shine Hafid, Omar Kra Le'ama. Fascinating diak, fascinating diak. V'chiyim kor ish et pito le'ama. Right? So what's pshat le'ama? Pa'amim she'eno mochra ela. There's times where all that the sale is doing is that he's selling her as a le'ama bilvad with no other implication. Because otherwise, it's a misrepresentation in the first place. What do you mean? Yimkor ish et bitola ama. But that's not the point. The point is that, as we've seen throughout the Masechta, we've had this strange, I pointed out to you many times, the strange interrelationship of the Oma Yivriya to Ishut, because the sale of the daughter is always taking into consideration the rights of the father and desires of the father to set his daughter up in life. It's not just as la'ama. So why would the Torah say la'ama? Must be, Tainas Rabbi Meir, that the Torah is being mechadesh a new type of sale. That not only can a father sell a daughter where part of the kiddin is understood to be kiddushin, but he could even sell in a case where he's making a tnai that there should be no kiddushin. And I want to sell my daughter only as an amah. So that means that the Torah allows two different types of sales. So I'm not being matnah, mashikatu batorah. But if it hadn't been for that word, I'm trying to abrogate a din in the Torah, I can't do that. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, there is such a sale. Brilliant diyak, huh? So the Rabbanan, that is a fantastic diyak. So why did the Rabbanan say indeed that that doesn't exist? Haila ama, my abdile, what do they use that word mi'ama for? No, that word, I mean by Leiki Tanya. We had another brilliant shot in that. La'ama means melamed shemokhra lepsulim. You are allowed to sell that daughter as an ama to, let's say, a mamzer. Understand? Somebody that she's not allowed to marry. How can you do that? The Torah says that Yud is part of the cell, and over here it's an Isser for the Mamzer to be Miyayder, because he's not allowed, she's not allowed to sleep with a Mamzer. Oh, Lama, there's times where the cell has to be only Lamahut, because it would be Osir for her to get married, and nonetheless it's a kosher cell. No, brilliant deal. That's beautiful. See? So Malamit Shabbat Chalap Sulik says the Gemara, but wait, for that, you don't need a Pusik. Why? Because it's a Kal V'Chomer, Valodinu. Can a father be Bekabel Kedushin from a Mamzer for his daughter? Yes, absolutely. It's Osir. I mean, it's not a marriage that he can go through with, but the Kedushin is Chal. The Kedushin is Chal HaKai V'Lar. And the din of Kabbalah's Kedushin of a father is not limited to Kedusha Hetzer. It's like anybody else. That he would be, if a woman is Bekabel Kedushin from a Mamzer, she needs a get. So if the father's Bekabel Kedushin from a Mamzer, his daughter's going to need a get. So if a father could be Bekabel Kedushin directly, forget about the possibility that the guy will maybe turn it into a yud. I mean, halach is kama v'kama, that he could sell the same daughter as an Amma despite the risk of the possibility of yud. He could go straight out and be Mekabel Kedushin. So what are you telling me? I need a pasuk to tell me. And even though it's usher, he could sell her as an Amma. Obviously he could sell her as an Amma. I mean, over there I wasn't even doing it openly for Kedushin. So therefore I would say that if Halodinu, he Mekad Shalom Psulim, he's able to be Mekadisha for Psulim and be Mekabel Kedushin directly, Loyim Karedal Psulim. Obviously he could sell. Ah, says the Gemara, listen to this brilliant teretz. This mom is so excited. No, it's not a good kalvachom. Why not? Because when you're Mekadish Lipsulim, it's because a father is more empowered to accept Kedushin than he is to make a sale. And in why is that true? Because a father can make Kedushin for a daughter who's a Nara, but he can't sell a daughter who's a Nara. So that means that your kalvachomer is backwards. Because what you were looking at it as is that there's two separate components, sort of. There's the sale, and then there's the element that he could do yield. So if he can go directly to the condition, so why wouldn't he be able to do a sale that includes that? But it's not true. Because the din of yield, no matter how you learn, is still a function of the type of sale as an amma. That's for sure. So the yield is included in that. So you're going to tell me that because of that, where father's kayach is limited in selling his daughter, because that's a Kal V'Chomer, he could certainly, since he could be a Bekabel Kedushin as a Nara, therefore he should be able to sell a Ketana. No. It's apples and oranges. So he does not have the right to engage in that. If it wouldn't have been for the Pasuk to say, Le'ama, which would imply only Amahut and not Kedushin, I would have said, excuse me, sir, Torah made dependent the sale of the Oma Ivriya to yield. He's not going to be able to be Miyayit, he's a Mamzer. So you can't sell his bottle. Kamashman Le'ama comes to tell me that he could sell to Psulim. But it certainly does not mean what you're saying, Rabbi Meir. You're claiming it means he could sell with a tznai that there is no yud possible. No, never. Here there's yud possible. The Torah never created a new type of sale. So that's, says the Gemara, Mala Mekachel Psulim. Shekein Adam Mekadesh et Bitokishi Nara. Yes, that follows. And therefore you're going to conclude Yim Kerenel Psulim. So he could sell it. Where ein adam locher bitokshi nara. That's why I need the pasuk Talmud lomar le'ama melamed shemochra lepsulim. So from here you see that indeed you can sell it to psulim. Rebbe Eliezer Omer im melamed shemochra lepsulim. I don't need this pasuk to tell me that you could sell to psulim because it says beferish im ra'a be'inei adonel asher lo ya'ada. What does that mean? Are you telling me that the words ra'a means the same thing as lo matzachen be'enav? No. Lo matzachen is personal. Ra'ah is absolute. We're thinking evil. What is evil? What do you mean evil? What do you say? He doesn't like her. I mean, it's a matter of opinion. You think she's evil. Huh. Now, the pshat over here is that indeed there's something objective that is bad. Namely, that she's ra'ah b'nisu'ah, that the Torah has defined this kedushin as bad, because it's an nisu'ah. So that means that the Torah has already told us that if it's bad, because it's an Isser, Imra Abe Ne Adonea, there was still an Adonea, so I see clearly that you could sell a woman who is Ra'ah for Nisuin, and nonetheless, Asher Lo Yada. That means that I already know La'ama, I don't need La'ama to tell me that, I already know that she can be married to Psuin. The Chiddush of Matam Lo La'ama, that's to tell me that he could even sell her to relatives, where over there would be an Isser Karet, and the yud wouldn't even be chal if he gave the money for yud, because kedushin isn't chal on an iser karet, and nonetheless, it's not ma'akiv the sale as the amah. That's the Chiddush. That there's no possibility of Yud, because it wouldn't be Chal Yud. And nonetheless, he could sell to an Amma. So he'll say, Valo Dinu. Isn't that a Kal V'chomer? I mean, Imogra Lipsulim. Loyim Karena Lekrovim. If he can sell her now to Psulim, can't he sell her to Krovim? No. What do you mean? Malam Ocher Lipsulim. Shimrat Sela Ya'ed Mi'ed. That's because if I sell it to Psulim, at least it's possible to be Yud over there. So therefore, should I conclude, Yim Karena Lekrovim, Shimrat Sela Ya'ed Enu Mi'ed? Obviously not. So Ra'ah would only cancel Psulim, but it wouldn't cancel Krovim. Therefore, Omakra Le'ama, Malamechim Ochra Lekrovim. Beautiful. Now, what does Rabbi Meir do with this? Because Rabbi Meir used the La'ama to tell me that you can make it tonight. But now it turns out La'ama tells us things that are much more fundamental. So what is Rabbi Meir? I'm Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, first of all, I agree 100% with Rabbi Eliezer. Imra'a b'nei Adonai already teaches me the din of psulim. Okay? So therefore, l'psulim nafka l'meyech nafka l'Rabbi Eliezer. Now you want to know. So where do I know the second din that you could sell to Krovim? Ha! I don't! It's usher to sell to Krovim. Because I hold that Eino Chinami, the Torah makes the sale dependent on the possibility of Yud. And therefore, Amma couldn't possibly be coming to tell me that you could sell to a Korah. You cannot sell to a Korah. The only thing that you can do is sell to a Potzel, because at least over there the Yud would be Chal if you went adding David. Therefore, what's the Amma coming to tell me? What I said, that you could make it tonight, that you don't want Yud, okay? So, Bikrovim, when it comes to Krovim, in that he indeed agrees with the Rabbana, who say that Ein Mochra LeKrovim, as we saw all along, you cannot sell if there's no possibility of Yud. We've been going on too long, I know. But, I mean, the two dots are only four lines away. Should I get to it? I mean, that's the end of the sugya. Right? Should I? No, okay.